One of my preaching heroes told me once that a parishioner came to him and said, "You don't give me enough answers in your sermon. I need more answers." To which he responded, "My only job in a sermon is to take you to the feet of God and leave you there." Kind of like that anthem did. This morning's sermon is simply to take you to the feet of God and leave you there. The text said that among those who went up for worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida, and said to him, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." And Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered nothing that had to do with any of the people that asked to see him, at least on the surface. He said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit." We all know what it's like to live within limits. Most of us know what it's like to live with all sorts of limits. When one of my daughters was in early elementary school, we made the holy and sacred pilgrimage to the Mecca of American culture, Disney. That was expensive all on its own. If you've been there, you know the deal, tickets and hotel and food and everything. But the other unique thing about Disney is there's a gift shop every 20 feet in every park. Am I not telling the truth? Every 20 feet. And that my child was moving in and out of these gift shops wanting everything that she saw, stuffed animals, water bottles, hats, shirts, dolls, every piece of memorabilia that you could think of about that particular area of the theme park. And I finally told her, "You have to pick one thing. And here's your dollar limit. We don't have enough money to buy everything you want." And so she responded, "We'll write a check." And what she didn't understand at the time was, you have to have money in the bank to cover the check because there are limits. What some of you don't understand is what a check is. So it's these little paper things that we used to write on back in the day, sort of like your debit cards. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. The Greeks in this story are limited. If we were to go back to John chapter 12, verse 1, the beginning of this chapter, we find out that we are in the week of Passover. We are in the week before Jesus' death. And it says some Greeks were there for the worship. Well, they weren't there to worship or to participate in worship. Passover is an exclusively Jewish festival. They were there to watch this whole thing that was going on. These were observers. These were not participants. These were tourists come to Jerusalem to watch the celebration. No doubt lots of things that they wanted to see while they were there, but you can't see everything, right? Because we're limited. Time is limited. So I'm certain they wanted to see the temple in all of its glory. I'm certain they made the trip so that they could see this impressive city with its impressive walls. I'm certain that they wanted to look in that one direction and see the city of David built on the terraces there. And on their list, possibly just maybe, we might get to see this teacher named Jesus. A few weeks ago, Vocare, our youth choral ensemble, traveled to San Francisco. They were ministers in the mornings. On Saturday morning, they ministered at St. Martin de Porres Food Kitchen. On Sunday morning, they ministered through music at 19th Avenue Baptist Church. But in between performances and in the afternoon, they were tourists. Many of them were first-time tourists in San Francisco. And so there were a lot of things that they wanted to see. They wanted to see the Golden Gate Bridge, and they got to see it. They wanted to see Ghirardelli Chocolate Factory, and they got to see it. Wanted to see Muir Woods and the Redwoods, got to see it. But we were only there 2 days. We were limited. So we didn't get to see everything. They got to see Alcatraz from a distance, but didn't get to go inside. They didn't get to see Lombard Street. They didn't get to see the Full House House. They didn't get to ride a trolley. Believe me, I heard all of these things. We didn't get to see the Full House House. We didn't get to see Lombard Street. But we were limited. As luck would have it, these Greeks run into one of Jesus' disciples. And they ask Philip, "Do you have any backstage passes? We would love to meet Jesus." And Philip's like, well, I gave all of mine away, but let me go check with Andrew and see if he's got any left. And he goes and talks to Andrew. And Andrew, I gave all of mine away. Let's go see if Jesus will let these Greeks come and talk to him. These tourists from another part of the world want to meet Jesus. I'll say that again. These people from another part of the world are now wanting to meet Jesus. And rather than saying yes or no, Jesus goes into this strange monologue. The first words out of his mouth are, oh, this is it. This is the time that I am to be glorified. Glorified. This is the time that I've got to start shining so bright that more people than just the people around me get to see me. And the only way for this to happen is for me to die. Well, it's kind of like a seed. You either spend your time looking at a seed or you put it in the ground and you let it die and you let it bear fruit. Jesus, in this moment in John chapter 12, realizes that he is limited. Jesus is limited. This is the last chapter in John's gospel of Jesus' public ministry. In John's gospel, this is the last event before he goes into seclusion with his disciples and makes his way to the cross to die. The last thing that happens in his public life is a bunch of Greek people from the Greek world, Gentiles, come because they want to get to know Jesus, and it's an indicator that ministry is enlarging, and there's no way that Jesus as one man could ever touch everybody. As one man, one limited human being, Jesus could only see a few people, touch a few people, minister to a few people. Jesus had to find another way to reach the world. Now, authors and speakers understand this to a degree. Jenna Manning, my friend and co-worker and colleague and right-hand person, fields a lot of my phone calls, many from non-church members. You can imagine, who call the church and they want to talk to Jim about his views of X, Y, or Z. Well, usually it's LGB or T or CBF or BIBLE. It's some other letters, but they want to call and they want to talk to me. And she appropriately responds, well, you need to buy the book, or you need to attend a speaking engagement, or you need to come to worship on Sunday mornings. Well, I just want to talk to him for a minute. Now understand, these are Gentiles. These are non-church members. These are not people that I know. I can't meet with and chat with and spend time with every individual that calls. I try and I do pretty well with any church member who needs me to give them some time. But I find out in my own life that to get the message out, you've got to live beyond your limits. You have to find a way to die. I have to bury myself every once in a while, set aside a part of my life and bury myself in a coffee shop or bury myself at my condo or bury myself in the office to write or to think or to put together a sermon. We all know a bit of this reality, don't we? Knowing that we can't do everything, finding a way to do what we can do and expand the influence of our lives beyond our little finite selves. I have seen you struggle more in the last 3 or 4 weeks than I have seen you struggle the last 4 years that I have been here. I had no idea what a prayerful endeavor, mission, and burden it was going to be for you to get $100 on Ash Wednesday and have to figure out what to do with it. But I don't know how many people have come to me and said, I have just prayed and prayed and prayed and searched and searched and searched and thought and thought and thought. How do I make the most of this limited ministry opportunity that I've been given? How do I glorify God with it? How do I make it bigger than my limited experience? How did Jesus deal with these things? He just said, if a seed is planted in the ground, if it dies, it grows into something larger and more fruitful. In a moment, we're going to share communion. And one of those phrases of communion, you know, we say the same words of institution every time, and I'm not sure how attuned you are to every phrase, but one of the phrases that we use during communion is, and as often as you drink this bread, eat this bread, and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. That is the reality of every moment of grace in the church. Every baptism, every ordination, every communion, every prayer for the dying, every wedding, every funeral, every prayer, every song, every sermon, every handshake and every smile. These become holy moments in which Christ lives. The Spirit of Jesus, the very life of Jesus, the presence of Jesus exists in these moments. No longer limited to flesh and the years of human experience. So come and enjoy the meal and enjoy the presence of Christ and celebrate God's opportunities amid the limits of your life.